Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
And welcome to the show. Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. As usual, I am joined here by my friends and co-hosts. I have Money Mike to my right. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, I'm recovering from the Lakers playing in the playoffs, and we're going to have a new beginning.
We have an amazing guest tonight. Stat Pat, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. Happy Easter to all of you.
Happy Easter to everybody, yeah. Of course. Yeah. So we have an amazing guest tonight. We have the most amazing broadcaster in the world. We have Roy Firestone with us.
Man.
Roy was there. Roy was the man. As you know, we've been talking a lot about Winning Time, HBO's smash hit. And we've been doing some research on our own. And what we wanted to find out is just kind of what the feel was at the time, because a lot of HBO shows seems to be elaborated or fluffed up a bit, we'll say.
Yeah.
But with no more ado, let's go ahead and get him on, because his time is limited. Let's go ahead. Roy Firestone, are you there? Let's go ahead and bring him on.
Right here, Jeff. How are you, Pat?
Good. How are you, Roy? Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Anytime something comes up and we're talking about the 80s, the early 90s, so forth, we're going to come to you. You're the expert. You were there. Yeah. You were on every single aspect. You were everywhere at the time. And everyone's talking about this huge hit HBO has, which is called Winning Time.
Yeah.
Winning Time essentially portrays the Los Angeles Lakers from the time when Jerry Buss went ahead and purchased the team, and how he supposedly transformed it, and the team transformed into Showtime and the Showtime Lakers, as we all know it. But with that, a lot of people have said and feel that there are some, you know, discrepancies between how certain people are being portrayed. And I know, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the show, but really what's best is that you were there. So you interacted with these people, and we'll just kind of explain. Let's just jump right into it.
Oh yeah, let's jump into it. So, I thought Jerry West was a really nice guy, but on the show, this guy is angry all the time,
neurotic.
You know, throwing temper tantrums, throwing his trophies. You know, I'm pretty sure you've interviewed and hung out with Jerry West. Was he a nice guy, or did he? Was he temperamental?
First of all, I just did an interview with Jerry West about 8 weeks ago. For a new show that I'm doing, specials I'm doing for ESPN that starts in May 30th, show called GOATs, Greatest of All Time.
Love it.
That'll air. I don't have the time yet, but I know it's on May 30th or 31st, whatever that night is. It's also going to air on the ABC. And we interviewed 16 of the biggest names retired. All of them retired. No, Kate Ledecky wasn't retired, but most everybody was retired in sports. Jerry was one of them, and I think Jerry was the very best interview we did, if I may say. I did almost a two-hour interview with him, and I got to stop for just a second. I got a dog trying to get a ball. Judy!
hey, leave Kobe alone, man.
That's his name. His name is Kobe.
Yeah. I know. We know. We know about you.
Judy! I'm gonna have to. Well, she's
no
gonna
problem.
Have to,
it's okay, right?
Let me start again and say this: that there is no Lakers Showtime, there is no five championships, there is no greatness with the franchise beyond the five titles in the 80s without Jerry West.
Yeah,
and I didn't. I have not seen the series.
Okay,
I have not seen it, and I can tell you that any depiction of Jerry West as some kind of heavy-handed guy I'm not saying he didn't have a temper or wasn't neurotic, because he certainly was. Okay. But they don't win those titles without him. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to give
ahead.
You a break.
No problem. No problem. You go ahead.
No problem. We'll appreciate it.
Yeah. Let me just get the ball and close the door. Hold on a second.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and run a quick commercial, Dwan. We'll go ahead and run a quick commercial. We'll be right back with Roy Firestone, and don't go anywhere. And we are back with Roy Firestone minus Kobe the dog. No problem. We love the dogs.
Yeah.
But we want to hear from Roy. Yeah. That's what we're here for. So we're going to
You're not
going to
have any barking now. So
exactly.
He wanted to play ball, and that's was not the time. So,
yeah.
So let me get back to Jerry West. First of all, I haven't seen the series.
Yes.
I don't know if that disqualifies me from commenting, but I lived it. I was the Laker pregame show host.
Uh-huh.
I covered the Lakers for parts of really for about 30 years.
Yeah.
And I saw the Lakers when they're crummy before Magic. I saw them the day they drafted Magic. I was there the day that Jerry Buss bought the team. I was there May of 79. And I've known Jerry West for most of 40 plus years.
Yeah.
I am not denying that he has his ways. And by the way, in the interview that I did, you may or may not be aware of this, but he was so candid in his tragedies in his life. His brother was killed in the Korean War. His father was abusive and tried to kill him. He tried to kill his own father.
Wow.
I mean, heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. This will be in the interview that you'll be on in May. And so Jerry West was certainly not a flawless person. But any depiction of Jerry West as some kind of heavy-handed guy who got in the way in some respects of the Lakers' greatness. It's true he did want Sidney Moncrief over Magic, but make no mistake, the Lakers' assemblage of great players, the Michael Coopers, the early on the Norm Nixons, the Byron Scott trade, all of those things came about because of Jerry West. The Lakers do not win the title without Jerry West.
And
I don't know how they did. I'm sure they depicted him as some kind of heavy guy. They always need some villain, but he is no villain. And I happen to know that the Lakers aren't thrilled about this show. Magic for sure isn't. Jeannie Buss is for sure not. They tried to, I'm sure they displayed the debauchery, if you will.
Yeah, they're on full display.
By the way, all the teams in the NBA, including the Bulls, I was watching The Last Dance again today, and Michael Jordan is talking about all the cocaine and drugs and women and and reefer and all that stuff that were going on too. So all teams had it.
Yeah.
But to suggest that Jerry West was some guy who got in the way is absurd to me. I was there, by the way, as I mentioned a second ago, the first day that Jerry Buss bought the team in May of 79. I did the first interview with Jerry Buss. Yeah. And I'll never forget that day. I had never met him. He owned the L.A. Strings tennis, tennis thing. And I had never really met him before. He seemed like a nice enough guy. All he could think about was, what would it be like if I could get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's autograph? He had just bought the team.
Wow.
That's so cool.
And by the way, you may or may not know this. I'm sure you guys do, but maybe not your audience. For less than $70 million, that's still a lot of money, but for less than 70, he got the Forum, he got the Kings, and the Lakers.
Wow, yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah. Just think about it. The Lakers now are probably worth between $3 and $4 billion, maybe $5 billion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Think about that for a second, the value of that.
It's amazing.
And for Buss to have put that whole package together, he had to move a lot of money around, shall we say.
Yeah.
And but it was it's probably one of the greatest transactions for a buyer in the history of sports.
You know, and that's really what was interesting about it, because I knew that, you know, prior to even watching Winning Time, that he actually had to sell some property to Donald Sterling to be able to get money to be able to buy the team. But in the show, like the last three or four episodes, they really are projecting him as being broke, you know, with the lien.
Well, he didn't have as much money as people thought he did.
No.
I saw that. And he... But he Frank Mariani was his partner.
Yep.
And two of them were able to string together a bunch of land deals. They sold a lot of land too, which is not normally known. But the Lakers became the Lakers that we would come to know and love as the greatest of the great teams. You know, with all due respect to, you know, Elgin and Jerry and Wilt, who won it back in 72, a great, great team. Right. The Lakers weren't consistently great until Magic Johnson. And once that era came and went, they had some lean years, like all franchises do, like the Celtics did until after recently, and today they won the game.
That was luck, though.
In the playoffs, that was great. With Tatum's play at the end was fabulous. But I just want people to know that, you know, I listen, creative license and, you know, showbiz creates a lot of things. They always have to have a bad guy.
Yeah.
They also have to depict people as over the top crazy. Jerry Buss was not a crazy guy. He was a womanizer for sure. And he had a lot of great parties for sure. But for the most part, it was a relatively, I wouldn't say tame may not be the right word, but it wasn't as overblown as they depicted. Yeah. I've seen some of the clips and trailers. I know that Kareem and Magic never came to blows or almost came to blows. I know that because Magic deferred to him so much, Kareem. Mm-hmm. Well, I know he was critical of Kareem, but Kareem and Magic never got into a pushing match. It looked like there was a pushing match on some.
Yeah. You know, and that was actually going to be my next question because, you know, tell me about like Magic and Kareem's relationship, because we all know the story. That, you know, game one, you know, Kareem hits the game winning shot and Magic goes over there and hugs them like they won the championship, you know.
That was against the Clippers in San Diego.
Right.
On the last shot of the game, Kareem hit the shot and the Lakers won. And then Magic went nuts and Kareem pulled him aside and said, listen, pal, we got 81 more of these.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're going to act like this every game, we're never going to get anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
I covered that game, as a matter of fact, in San Diego as well.
Yeah, I
want to say that Walton had just signed with the Clippers too. He was on that. I think he may have been on that court that night. I can't confirm that. I don't remember it for sure, but I remember Magic and Kareem. Magic was very deferential to Kareem. Always, he always looked at Kareem as the great sage player. I'm sure there were some frustrations because Magic wanted to run and Kareem was not in the running place at that point in his career.
Right.
But I don't think if this series showed a lot of tension between the two, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's false. But again, it's theater. It's, you know, I know the people who wrote that. I know Jeff. I know the people who the script for this, for these things. You got to have some, shall we say, license, if you will, of entertainment and trying to make things heavier than they were. I think Jerry Buss did have some wild parties, no question about it, but I think largely it was not as out of control as they try to depict some of these things. And all the teams in the 80s were doing it too.
Yeah, I think that, there's going to be a some level of embellishment when you come to, you know, like you said, like it's Hollywood and they're trying to make it seem like this is how it was. Going back to Jerry West, though, because in the beginning they did portray him as being this, you know, this neurotic person. But
he certainly was. I mean, that part of it is true. There were some nights where he would tell me this. He'd get in his car and drive on 405 in the fourth quarter of a Laker game. He couldn't stand to watch him. He was so full of anxiety. He needed to get in his car and drive, and he did that a lot. There were some nights I'd see him in the men's room at the Forum, you know, hanging out in the men's room while the game was going on. Like, he didn't have to do any business in the men's room, you know what I mean? And he was just trying to get away.
It's the
and
safest
he never
place.
Sat, he never sat in a seat. He was always pacing. You have to understand, it's Jerry West. He's one of the greatest players who ever lived. And it's hard for some of these guys to watch other people do what came easily for him.
Yep.
And he was also, don't forget, the Lakers head coach for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Roy, because when I think about Jerry West and how they predicted him, is not that he was neurotic at first, because they showed his genius in being able, yes, he thought that he was not the best kind of coach, but the architect.
He never wanted to be.
So he was the architect of the Lakers. And so when he saw the tape and he was like, I got a guy for you, and it was McKinney, that was because of West. And because of that, it brought out the gifts that Magic was able to do it. McKinney was able to put Nixon and Magic in the same backcourt, which was unheard of. And it was able to highlight Michael Cooper. So there's a lot of things that Jerry West, at the beginning of it, they showed him as being this guy, like, oh my God, he doesn't have it all together. And then it was him being able to nurture McKinney and tell him that you need to be able to give and take. You can't be such a hard person. You know, you're a genius in the basketball mind, but you got to be a coach. You was an assistant coach. Now you got to be a head coach, which means you got to manage players. And it was just a lot of that's going on. And so I think as the show went on, I think people's initial reaction to the depiction of Jerry West, then actually right now you kind of see it working out. And then you start seeing the relationship between Jerry West and Jerry Buss. Also, Magic Johnson and Kareem came to an impasse. It was like, it's now the show, I think in the beginning was so shocked that people were like, oh my God, I can't believe our childhood heroes are looking like this. But now we're in episode 7, and I think we're at the sweet spot where everyone is looking the same way we kind of remember them being.
Well, you know, the irony is, you know, Jerry also acquired Kobe late in his career, late in Jerry's career, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Kobe was a youngster, 18, 19 years old. He also acquired Shaq. He built several teams. It wasn't just the Showtime, like, although this series is about Showtime. You do know that Kobe Bryant was in the stands. I'm sure that was
you mentioned that.
Yeah, they showed that.
He was a baby the night that Jelly Bean Bryant, Joe Bryant, his father, played on the Clippers that night.
Yep, absolutely.
But you know, I just listen. What happened with the Lakers and Jerry West is unfortunate. There's animosity now. Yeah. It shouldn't have been that way. Something was said or done over a period of time that alienated Jerry. And he wants nothing to do with the Lakers now. It's too bad. It really is. You know, of course, he's an executive with the Clippers now, ironically. But when things were good, when things were right, Jerry West was the architect. He was the genius, and he definitely had some personality quirks, shall we say?
Yeah.
But I would say he's the greatest basketball mind. In terms of personnel,
no doubt,
probably whoever lived, including Red Auerbach,
Really,
I could understand why people want to depict Jerry as this crazy guy. He had a lot of crazy crap happen in his life, believe me. Yeah. But I know the Lakers aren't thrilled about this series. Mm-hmm. Magic's doing his own series on Apple TV.
Yeah.
You probably heard that too.
Yeah.
He won't even watch it.
Yes.
So it's some controversy. I'm sure it's very well. I'm sure it's well done, but I haven't seen it yet.
It is entertaining.
He's actually very well done.
It definitely is entertaining.
But I hate to be like that. It's very well done.
It is. It's very entertaining. But you know what? I wanted to ask you about this because you know, as we watch the series, the only person that we see that's of, well, let's say of Jerry Buss's children is Jeannie Buss. You know, Jeannie was there. They showed her as an intern. She's, you know, I love Jeannie, so I'm not trying to say nothing negative about her. But in the series, she's basically projected as like the savior. She's the intern. They're trying to figure out something, and then she throws something out.
Somewhat the interpreter between what her father wanted and what the team and the NBA normally had.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, Jeannie, what do you think? And, you know, she said, well, should I say something? And then this becomes the greatest idea and all things like that. For Jeannie. But here's my question. I mean, we know there's Jimmy and there's Jesse and he has other children.
Johnny Bus.
Were they Jim around?
There was Jim Bus and there was Johnny Bus.
Okay.
I think.
Were they around also? Because in this series, they don't.
They had very little to say.
Yeah.
I think in the Showtime era, Jeannie was too young to really have a lot of input. I think she, you know, when they got Rambis, they got Linda Rambis, who is part of the and Kurt Rambis are part of the Lakers even today as we speak.
Yes.
But that was much later. Some of the stuff, it sounds like some of that stuff is a little bit out of order. But listen, it makes for great television. It makes for a great script. And I wish them well. I'll probably get around to seeing it soon. But I was there. I know the truth.
I
can tell you that when I did the Laker pregame show, it was not a dysfunctional organization at all. It was a very well-run organization. A lot of it had to do with Jerry West, too.
Yeah, and look, I truly believe that. That's why we have you on here, just to kind of find out what really happened, you know, because obviously, you know, to make things be entertaining, you have to embellish stuff. You have to say, well, this didn't happen this way, but if we do it this way, then it makes for a better show. So that's why I was asking. I'm like, where are the sons? You know, like, they literally make it seem like he has one daughter, which is Jeannie Buss.
Yeah, they don't even mention.
They don't even mention like his other children and, you know, the intricate parts that they played,
Let me ask you a question, Joe.
I think Jim Buss took over the strings, and so did Jeannie, the professional tennis. So they had their own thing. I think Jeannie at one point was dating hockey players on the Kings.
I have no doubt.
I'm not trying to.
That's what's going on.
She was a youngster.
Yeah,
she
of
was,
course.
He was certainly not a professional savvy, you know, expert on professional sports by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Be honest here, man. She did pose for Playboy.
Right.
And that was,
let's be honest here. Like, she did do that.
And she also dated for like 5 years, Phil Jackson.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so, you know, like, she's a wild girl. But I would say that, like, when it comes to her, and because it was a scene in the show where, like, the family came and saw Jerry Bus at a restaurant with a younger lady.
Yep.
And the only kid that was there was Jeannie. So I'm thinking, like, but Joanne had more kids for him. Why are they only going to the dinner with Jeannie when there? I know there's Johnny. I know there's Jesse. Where were they at? Well, like, where were they at? Like, they all was, it was, and she was like 9 years old or something like that.
Right.
So that's where I'm like, okay, so are they strategically being like X'd out, or is it like you said, Mike, like, are they highlighting Jeannie? Is this like a Jeannie project? Like, you know, well, like, I'm trying to figure out where's the angle here.
Here's another thing to remember. You know, she was an attractive young woman.
Yeah.
You know, some of those other guys were somewhat dull. They wanted to have a female foil. Again, I'm not denying that Jeannie might have had contributions. I just don't think she was pivotal in 1980.
She would have been
about 15 or 16
years old.
Yeah,
that's fair. Right. That's fair.
Yeah, and look, and I agree with you, because they basically made it seem like it was her idea
to come up
with the Laker Girls.
Laker Girls.
That was Jerry. Jerry was really into Showtime. He wanted to have the team to be an exciting, thrilling thing. Now, Jeannie might have had some input on it.
Yeah.
I don't think at any point Jeannie Buss was in control of, she may have had some ideas, but I don't think she had any real power, real influence. And again, I don't mean to in any way denigrate her. I just think that they wanted to have some sort of female presence in this thing and make it more interesting, more colorful.
Hey,
I think the Kobe Shaq Lakers, by the way, with all the infighting between those two would be probably a better series.
Let me ask you that.
It's coming up, that's for sure.
And that's a good thing you brought that up, Roy, because I wanted to ask you, since because I thought that was going to be the show, because Perlman wrote that book too.
Yeah,
so it's like, so he's already pitched it. I heard he already pitched it. But would Vanessa, would you think Vanessa would okay that? Because if they're taking liberties with the image of, you know, all these players, then Kobe's not here to defend himself at all.
Because she's very protective of his memory.
Yes.
She's very protective of his image.
Yes.
She's very litigious. She'll sue.
Yeah. Yes. I believe that.
She's been through a lot, obviously, clearly, and so is the family. I don't know. But you could get, you know, sometimes you don't need certain permissions.
Correct.
You might not. I don't know all the details of how it works. But there's things called unauthorized biographies, you know.
Well, being that Magic doesn't even agree with this one, you kind of have that going on here.
But how can Magic, if you think about it, I mean, we're going to highlight Magic Johnson. So for, okay, first of all, let's be honest. The first scene of the show was Magic Johnson about to give the infamous, I would say infamous because it was like a dark day as far as my life, the press conference when he was going to announce
that he was
HIV positive. That's how they started the show, and then they tracked it all the way back to the time that he was drafted. So I'm saying, like, okay, so it was only going to be two things that we're going to highlight with Magic's career. His basketball acumen, which is going to be like obviously a savant on the court, and then it's going to be his debauchery on all his philandering and all that, because we got to get to the point where he contracted HIV. There's no reason why we're going to highlight his basketball and then lead with the HIV. It doesn't matter. So that's why I believe Magic Johnson cannot watch this show, because it's going to highlight all of the good and the highlight the bad.
It has to.
And it has to.
Yeah,
it would be inaccurate. Yeah,
you need all kinds of angles in theater and cinema. You need all kinds of I'm sure the Ray Charles movie, you know, with Jamie Foxx,
had
a lot of distortions, but that won the Academy Award too. You know what I mean? Right. I just think that if people want to enjoy this Laker show on HBO, and apparently a lot of people are,
yes, they are,
enjoy it, but don't think it's real.
Right.
Because it's not all accurate.
Exactly.
There's a lot of license and the depictions. And I just think that any distortion on the part of Jerry West as being some kind of jerk is unfair. I mean, again, I said at the top of this interview, there is no five championships. There are no titles in that era without Jerry West.
Right.
And yes, it's true. He did push back on he wanted Moncrief over Magic. I remember that. But I think there was so many other picks that he made, so many choices he made, that they realized that this was truly the architect. This was the genius.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Roy, before we put this episode out, we reached out online and see if anyone had any questions. Mm-hmm. And we have an odd one here that I wanted to ask you. It's well documented, at least the brother-sister type relationship that Jeannie and Magic apparently have. They both talked about it. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else ever?
Well, I've heard some things. I can't confirm them, but I've heard some things.
Okay.
I will say that I've heard it a lot.
Yes. Okay.
But I can't vouch. I mean, I wasn't there in that respect. But there may have been friendships with
we'll leave it at that. You
got to read between the lines.
Yeah,
exactly.
Last
question, Roy.
So we know. I got to ask you about the Forum Club. So on a scale of 1 to 10,
that was something.
Yeah, right. On a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, the first thing that they showed in the Forum Club was people sniffing.
Of course, man. It's the 80s, though.
So I know it was wild and crazy. And let's say that they relished it to be at a 10. You were there. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it just in the scale?
There was some discretion, but it was there every night.
Yeah, I believe that.
I mean, you'd see on any given night, you'd see you know, 15 celebrities in that Forum Club, and I'd be there probably 3 out of 5 days a week. It wasn't my thing, and I'm not just saying it because it really wasn't. I didn't get into that world, but there was a lot of nose candy.
Yeah, it was the time.
Marching powder and other things too that were going on.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was like without the swimming pools and the jacuzzis, it was like Hefner was running that Forum Club.
Oh yeah.
And by the way, most of it after the game. In other words, they would be there before the game, but the real partying came after the game. And you'd see players like Spencer Haywood would be one. That was a little bit later,
sure.
But Spencer Haywood would be there after. You'd see after these guys played, they'd be in that club, you know, hitting on women.
Shower it up, and they'd be in there.
Yeah.
I mean, wired up. Too.
You got the club. Awesome. You literally have the club at work.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
Right. That's crazy. Right. Exactly. That's crazy.
But, you know, I think it caught up with a couple of players. I think it caught up with Spencer Haywood, for example, who was a tremendous player in his prime. And I think he got messed up with coke. I think it's fairly well chronicled. I'm not telling any secrets here. He wrote about it. Mm-hmm. There were other players, too, that were just never really the same because they just got hooked, jacked up on cocaine and whatever else, speed in some cases. But I'm pretty sure that I don't think that you saw Magic getting involved in that stuff.
No, they had him drinking Coca-Cola.
They didn't see that.
They had him drinking soda in the show.
So one more final question, sure. Roy. We was talking to one of your really good friends, Ted Dawson, a while back. And
he was there, too.
Yeah. You know, he was. And he basically it has a similar recollection as you. So, you know, we know that you guys are, you know, definitely – know what the real is.
The authorities,
but you know, he said something about you, man. That you know, he's very, very complimentary, and you guys are really great friends. But I had to ask you this because he said they were sending you out on the story, and you're supposed to come back the same night with the story, but you don't come back until the next day. And you come back and say, "Oh, I have a great story for you,"
and it's amazing.
He's like, "No, not me."
And it would be an amazing story.
If it was true, I swear I would level with it. I'm like Donny Osmond, man. I have no business with that stuff. I would come in. I was 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
That's how young I was.
All right.
It was all eye opening for me, but I was not a partier. I was not a wild guy.
No. We're not saying the party. You just wouldn't come back. You were supposed to come back that night to report the story, and you would come back the following day to report the story that they sent you out on.
I don't remember it.
I don't recall.
I would tell you if that were true.
Okay. All right.
Excellent.
All right.
That's not any part of true.
All right.
Well, we appreciate you, Roy.
Always a pleasure.
Roy Firestone, we appreciate you always.
Thank
you for taking time out of your night to spend it with us and our listeners. We really appreciate it. And we hope to have you back on again real soon.
Anytime. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Roy. And everybody else, thank you. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back, and we'll continue. Thanks.
Be sure to visit the Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center for all your 420 needs. They have everything from baby jeeters to stizzy cartridges, fuzzies, pre-rolls, great deals on eighths, raw garden diamonds. They have your gear. They have Papa and Barkley relief patches. After a hard workout, you need those CBDs. You know that. They have plenty of edibles to choose from. Be sure to hit up the Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center.
Hey, we are back. That wasn't too bad. That was quick. We got Stat Pat
left, sir.
We got Money Mike on the right.
Yeah.
All right. So again, we brought it to you. We bring you the truth. We bring the people that were there. We went down. We dug deep. We got Roy Firestone to come here and tell us the truth, to tell us at least his side of it and how he saw it. There were some truths to how things happened that maybe Jerry Buss didn't have quite as much cash as it might have appeared.
Mm-hmm.
There were other things that he didn't feel necessarily were as true as they could have been.
Yeah.
But always interesting to get the real story.
The one story in the show that I'm still tripping off of, it's like Phil Knight comes to Magic.
Oh.
And he tells him, we about to go ahead, and I don't have all that money, but I'm gonna give you $1, and then you pay, and then all the shoe sales, and not only that, we're gonna put your name on the shoe, and we're gonna call it the Magic. And I'm listening to this dude, and I'm like, they gave him the Jordan pitch. Mm-hmm. That is literally the Jordan pitch,
right?
And Jordan said yes, and Magic said no.
18 cents. For well, sure. 100,000 shares at 18 cents is what we're offering you.
And they said today, $134 a share. And
over he would have been billion. Worth
$5.2 billion. And this is what I was telling like some people about it. It was funny because like Magic Johnson is the billionaire, but Magic Johnson had to diversify. Like Magic Johnson had to put his hands in like the Magic Johnson Theater, had Starbucks, had Pepsi.
He couldn't just like, sit back just, and let his money.
Dodgers. He had to work to get his money. Jordan is a billionaire only because of the full night deal.
Yeah.
Because of that deal, and would even add more insult to injury, is the fact that he was pitching this deal in 79. Jordan came in the league in 84. That's 5 full years of taking advantage of that. All the stock options, all of that just growing and growing and growing and growing. Before you know it, Magic would be 5 times, almost about 3 to 4 times more worth than Jordan is right now if he would have took the field idea. And he definitely, and he said it, and of course he regrets it. I mean, that's the biggest blunder that we'll say. But anyway, we got all these.
Wait a minute.
All these.
What did I say I ain't got no clue about?
Wait a minute. So we got a whole bunch of somebody's on
Jeff
it.
Speak justice, Sean.
Oh, Sean.
What is going on?
Awesome. I love it. Okay, so you guys, what
I'm
else?
Clueless. First of all, I don't know who that dude is, man, but all I know is that he needs
to. Hey, go up one, man. He said something about me, too, man. I didn't even see that one.
I think it's good. Corey, look at this clown lying.
Man, what am I lying about, man?
You're always lying. Man, you're lying about. Who are you lying now?
Man, I don't know. Look.
One above that.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth. We got a fan here. We got a fan.
Pat Smack.
I think it's a good thing. You know, hey, my man got jokes today. He got justice, man,
I don't know, man. We must be getting spammed or something.
Hey, dude. Cool. Oh, tomatoes.
Hey, anyway, let's
go. Tomatoes.
We're going to go on with the show, man.
All right. What are you talking? So, money. He brought up some other, Roy brought up some other things now. Ted and Roy differ a little bit. We talked to Ted. You guys will see that real soon. But the Forum Club, you say, you ask if it was a 10. You're very interested in that, right?
Yeah, because you know what, dude? That was a party place, man. Like, I was too young to be able to go into the Forum Club, but you mm-hmm. heard so many great things mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what passed through, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the partying, the who's who. I mean, they talk about Michael Jackson was up in there. You know what I mean? Like, who, dude? Like, they...
Sitting there wasting time. It's just saying. You're wasting time. Get off the show, you're wasting time. Bro.
Man, listen. I don't know who that dude is, but
We're gonna find out.
We're gonna hunt down Sean. Thank you, Sean, for being a fan. I personally have no problem with it, so I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah, of course.
I got no problem with it right there. That's for sure.
Yeah, but you know what though? Getting back to what we were talking about, like the winning time to me, like I said, we have to basically take it out of the grain of salt.
Of course,
like we have to go. It's for entertainment. We know there's gonna be something that's some embellishment, some of it's true, but all of it's not going to be.
Right.
Because if it was, then it probably would be really boring.
Yeah, it sucks.
So
I don't think so. See, that's where I differ. I think the story stands on its own. I don't think they need to embellish anything. I think they could have probably told the truth. My guess is that maybe Jeff's book is a little bit more truthful than as it got adapted to screenplay is where they start to embellish a little bit. Again, the things that I take exception to are when they have a character talking to himself in a private situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way.
Like, you're not in those thoughts. There's no way you can know. It's like, and when you see...
Which ball chump?
when you see like just these guys, like you said, the embellishment, but I like it for what it is. I mean, when you have, I'm gonna tell you right now,
it's fun.
Y'all
to watch.
Not watching this show, watch the show, because I'm gonna tell you right now, John C. Reilly about to win an Emmy for this. Dude, he is too good as Jerry Buss. I mean, if I thought Jerry Buss, I want Jerry Buss to be this depiction because I want him to not have everything together, and I want him to be like, bet on me. Like, I'm just holding everything. And the fact that he won, because it's like at the beginning, you're looking at him like this about floundering around and not really having his stuff together, but you know the end product. You know what it is.
You know
the
where
only
it came
reason
to.
Why we have this show is because he won, and he won big, not just little bit. He won big, and that's what I'm looking at all these moves, and you got like the Laker girls, and this is like part of his. He had this. He's a visionary, and it's like that's the thing.
Give it to Frank Vogel.
You know that's the thing. So. No, look, man. I'm gonna just be honest with you. You can't be watching these.
Okay, we'll get talking.
You're not going to go ahead, and your show is going to be directed to
a man here.
Hey, Sean, if you want to come on the show, please, man, bring it on, man. Come on to the show. We would love that, dude.
He's already on the show.
Well, he's trying to be on the show.
He's on the show.
We go out there and know him.
All right.
We go out there and know him. I mean, you're right. Like, you know what? That was what was so wonderful about like. Getting into what you're saying is like you see this guy number one, he's womanizing, he's doing all this other you know stuff, hanging out, and then he comes and has a meeting with the Great Western Forum people, and then comes up with a great idea that makes sense for everybody to be able to go and move, and then you see you know him having to deal with all that other stuff, then he goes right back to women like he never
right,
it never
all over the place
sways like that. So how are you able to keep that much focus? You know what I mean? Like if, when you're watching it.
Well, think about like so it's two things that working on it is so he got obviously he's a womanizer, but listen, we have to like look at the fact that he is Dr. Jerry Buss. The only reason why you're a doctor is because you actually and this is chemistry now. This is not just doctor of philosophy or doctor of education. This is doctor of chemistry, which basically and he's talking about how he worked on the atom bomb. Like my man's smart, not just. Like smarter, she's smart. Like he's like that.
Right.
Not to mention that he plays poker. He used to play poker, and he was really good. So he got those math skills. So he's calculating. Like so, he's doing this. He's better, but sometimes he gets in his own way, and that's what it looks like. Yes, he's smart, but he obviously got this plan and his vision. And his vision is literally, if you think about the NBA today. Think about everything you see was happening in this show that's being implemented by Jerry. It's literally
it's all cutting edge. It's all his.
It's all his. It's all what the league is now is what he envisioned the league to be.
No question. It's entirely that. Money Mike, I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's keep the subject to Jerry Buss, okay? Jerry Buss, womanizer, no question, right? To the fullest. Does that fly today? Does a Jerry Buss get by being
post Me Too
a
movement?
Jerry Buss today?
No, post Me Too movement? No.
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 You can't do half of the stuff that they did back then.
No.
You know, because
but it's the 80s.
Yeah, 80s, it literally was like, what was rock? Basically,
rock. Wow, man, we wild like, in the 80s, man.
It was still free, kind of.
Yeah,
until.
Right now, if he had two women that
I like Sean, he's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, if you had three women and you kiss all three of them and then there are three more women that you ain't never seen before, yeah, you're probably going to get canceled and they're going to say, probably go all red, going to call them up and try to convince them, you know, I could get you, you know, he's worth $1 billion. I could get you some money. And
oh, yeah, lawsuit.
And listen, and I'm not trying to make fun. I just want to make this clear. I'm not trying to make fun. Of the Me Too movement or anything like that. Please don't cancel.
Don't cancel me.
No, but I would say this: when it comes to, I would like so. There's Hugh Hefner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say Jerry Buss, like his protege, right?
Right.
If you had to think about, he was trying to have those same things that. But
yes,
if you notice, there's no after both of them both died. Both of them were dead. I don't hear anybody doing any kind of like hit pieces, exposés on Jerry Buss like they're doing with Hugh Hefner. So look, he might be womanizing, but every you know, like so my dad would say, fair exchange is no robbery, right? So that's basically everyone's getting something from the relationship. He got money, they want fame, they want to be around the big guy. Okay, boom. He's like 30 years their senior. Doesn't matter. Look, they love power. He's that guy. It works for everybody involved. It's not like he's trying to marry these chicks like Hugh Hefner were trying to keep a harem. He ain't trying to keep a harem. You know what I'm saying? He's doing his thing. And so I know it probably wouldn't look right, but these women are not complaining about being there for the nights and couple of days. At least we don't know, obviously. This is like you're saying, we don't know. There might be a whole bunch of like stories coming out, but we haven't heard it, right?
We didn't know about Cosby until Cosby. Right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You know.
But yeah, I would have thought we would have heard something during the meeting. I thought movement. So. And I'm actually kind of surprised. It never even dawned on me that we would, but now looking back and you think, well, who might be next on the list? You would think Womanizer, he might be there. But apparently that didn't happen, so that's good. But, you know, again, in Winning Time, I think the outstanding characteristic of Jerry Buss, like you said, was his gambling nature. If you haven't seen it, there is a scene when he is talking with Great Western Bank.
Yeah.
And they have a loan that's coming due. And, of course, he has no way of paying it. Yeah. And he gives them just no decision at all but to sign up, and just, it's just brilliant business.
Yeah. Right.
And just to have that's to talk about bluffing. I mean, that's gambling. Oh, right, gambling. Right. It's bluffing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There, but it was brilliant.
Yeah. Because he basically let them know, like, look, either you guys could get in bed with us, we can market ourselves.
We'll talk about the NFL season. We'll bring that up. We'll make sure to fit that in.
We can market ourselves. Thanks, you know, outside. Along with the Great Western Forum, or you lose everything and walk away.
You get nothing.
It was funny. It was funny because then so like I said, because when you think about all the things that are happening with the Lakers at this time, it's just a precursor for everything that's going to happen in the league, right? So we know of the Great Western Forum.
Right.
But it only became Great Western Forum because they sold the naming rights to the forum. That was now, that's commonplace.
Right.
At that point in time, it was just the pond, or it was just
the forum,
or this, or the forum, or that. It was not anything like, you know, like I guess
crypto.com arena,
Target Center, or anything like that, you know. And yes, the first one to do naming rights was the Lakers. You know, it's just and looking at Jerry, but that's why I love the show, for the fact that I really do think that Jerry Buss is getting his flowers. Now, in a weird way, you know what I'm saying? But he is literally, he's saying everything I'm touching right now, it might seem crazy, but this shit about to turn to gold. Right. You know, and that's purple and gold, right?
Exactly. But it did.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It certainly did turn to gold. Money Mike, you're enjoying the series.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you care if it's exaggerated? Do you really mind?
I mean, no, I really don't. You know, look, I you have to look at stuff for what it is. It's entertainment. So when you look at stuff from an entertainment perspective, you know there's a little bit truth underneath it. Like, you know, for example, I really didn't know that much about McKinney.
Correct.
So,
right.
So I was able to go and be like, wait a minute. I thought Paul Westphal was the head coach. Where did McKinney come from?
Westhead, dude. I just wouldn't because
Westhead.
I did the same thing.
My fault.
But I'm representing that seat today. So Paul Westphal
So I thought Paul Westhead was the coach and got his first championship. But I saw that McKinney was an intricate part of it, of creating actually Showtime.
Oh yeah, and now, he was the guy.
He was the actual architect.
He actually right. So now I'm like, okay. So let me Google about him. So I was able to educate myself more about stuff I didn't know about, like it because of the series.
Absolutely.
Even though we understand that it's foundationally for entertainment.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think a lot of Laker fans had no idea who Jack McKinney was, and I felt like maybe the Lakers won in spite of Westhead.
Yeah,
not because of what McKinney brought. But in spite of, and then that's why they went to Pat Riley and really took off.
Yeah.
But it's really not the case. Like you said, he was the architect.
Yeah.
He deserves the credit. And I don't think that has been done. But I think if anyone's getting flowers,
this show is giving
it's getting
it. And it's absolutely almost like on some, if you look at it, the way they, you know, they're depicting it, is like on some Tex Winter type stuff. You know what I'm saying? How like they were Phil Jackson, but we all knew the mastermind and
like
the triangle.
A beautiful mind type stuff.
Yeah, and like that's what it kind of like, you get that feel like he's a beautiful mind, and he was just stuck because everything in the NBA at that time was so rigid and everybody was in their position. And I mean, even Jerry West was a victim of that. However, when Jerry Buss is insistent on drafting this unicorn, which is Magic Johnson, I mean, he literally is a unicorn. I mean, you have all sense of the word. He's a 6'9 point guard that doesn't grow on trees, and we still haven't had anybody that played the game like Magic. You might have a Penny Hardaway, but the thing is, no now you have this guy, and he's like, I don't know how to put this round peg into this square, you know, the square peg in this round hole. I don't know how to do it. Let me get this mind that's going to be able to open the court up and make it free flowing. And that's what he did. Now, Paul Westhead came in there, was definitely a beta. Shout out to Andrea. Okay, he's definitely a beta. But when Pat Riley takes over, Pat Riley's like, oh, you want hard work? I got the hard work. Like, that's going to be instilled. Yeah. I got hard work.
Yeah.
And I'm already looking. I'm looking at it. I'm calling the games. I'm seeing what you guys do well. It almost was like a seamless transition. And so, yes. You're right. If anyone's getting the flowers, it's got to be McKinney because, honestly, I had to even look back and say, wait a minute, he did have like just basically a cup of coffee with the Lakers, but he set them up for the era.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it's crazy.
Yeah. That's why, you know, that's if that alone is the reason to watch the show is to learn on that.
Yeah, it also makes you wonder, too, because, I mean, was able to recover. Fully. He was able to be, coach of the year in 1981. You know, he was able to be. Hold on, what?
Russ? Did you say Russ was going to be the answer on the Lakers?
I did not say that.
He's so throwing you off the game, bro.
No,
just stay focused, man.
I'm staying focused. We talk about McKinney. McKinney got minutes for recovery. Yep. You know that he became the Pacers' head coach. Uh-huh. He was coach of the year over there. I wonder why didn't he come back? You know.
To the Lakers
for recovery.
Yeah, that
ship had sailed by that point.
I think he did, and I think Magic picked his guy, and his guy was Pat Riley.
Yeah,
they
weren't
going
to mess with that at that point. But that I think has been the biggest revelation so far.
Yeah.
You know, to me, the relationship between Magic and Kareem, we don't know how much was true, but I believe there was some tension there. There's going to be some veteran to rookie tension. Maybe they never came, you know, push and blows. We don't actually know.
But
you know, there's definitely going to be tension. And, you know, nowadays, if something like that happened between two players, it's on every single social network within 3 seconds. Back then, if it happened, it stays in-house. And it could very well still stay in house.
Yeah.
I will wait to see Magic's version. If it's in Magic's version, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm curious to see how they do that.
So here's my question really about Magic's version. What are we really going to be looking at? Because we already know that this is going to be pro Magic, right? So
yeah, it's like Magic versus Last Dance.
Right. So if it's going to be pro Magic, are we going to judge it based on its cinematography? You know, is it good? Is it entertaining? Or this one is more authentic than Winning Time?
I think it's going to be more authentic than Winning Time. But at the same time, I think it's going to be all basketball. Like, he's not going to touch on the other stuff. And he might touch on it, but he damn sure ain't spending, like, you know, a whole couple of episodes on it. Because it has to be a series, right? I'm assuming this is a series.
Yeah.
So if it's a series, it's going to go through his life and all the way he got to where he is right today. In terms of just basketball, I think Magic Johnson wants to put the light back on his playing career, because I always keep telling people, if you guys want to really talk about, don't put Magic in the GOAT conversation, but I mean, let's look at his career. He was in the finals of his 11 years before he retired. He was in the finals 9 times. Nine out of 11. You show me a better record than that right now.
Well,
there's nobody out there for 9 out of 11 champion. I mean, and he was a 5-4 5-4.
Yeah, so he got a better grade than the guy that's on the court right now.
And remember, there was one that was like he was favored to win one.
Than the guy that.
So it should be 6-3.
He had to sneak a dig in.
I mean,
LeBron's name hasn't been mentioned.
I need the Andrea Q.
It's not even there. I'm not a hater.
There we go. All I'm saying is 5-4 is better than 3-6.
All right.
Is he 3-6 still?
No, he is 4-10.
He's 4-6.
I ain't hating.
He's 4-6. So he's out of 10.
I mean,
so,
4-6. Yeah, yeah. Four,
see,
six.
So, so I guess. Yes.
But 5-4.
5-4, barely. Four, yes, six. It is. It is definitely that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, all right.
That's 5-2 is better than 5-2 is better than that too. That's dope.
I have a question for you guys. Okay, I personally love these. I don't know what they're calling them. Maybe our camera guy Theo. I know you're back there, but what are they calling these like biography movies such as Bohemian Rhapsody, Rocket Man, and now Winning Time?
Biopics.
Oh, there's biopics. Okay. So I personally love these biopics. I think they're great. I think they're fun to watch. I'd like to put a quick question to you guys really quick. We see the Laker ones, Magic one coming out. Which is the next one that you'd like to see, Pat?
Of involving the Lakers?
Anything.
Oh, okay. We're talking about sports. We're going to
anything.
Anything.
Well, is there a music star you want to hear that background story? You want to see like Freddie Mercury and Bohemian Rhapsody or Elton John and Rocket Man?
So this is what I think. So I wanted to say Tupac, but I think they already tried that, and I don't like that. I don't like the fact that they already have something out there
a couple times.
And they should have at least waited till they did it right. Like, it was just like the Biggie movie.
Yeah.
Like that's a great story. You should be doing like Biggie. Like, there's no big, or like, you know, so when it comes to rap or stuff like that, I don't have any, because I thought Tupac would be the most, because he has more depth as a rapper than any of the other rappers. Everybody else is rapping, but he has the most depth. In terms of you know, basketball, I mean, I would love to see, you know, like the Magic is good, but I want to see Shaq. I want to see Shaq. I want to see Shaquille O'Neal story and seeing how, like, because he's a big dude, but, you know, he made it. I mean, and the thing is, and of course I want to say Kobe, but I just think it's too dicey to mess with Kobe right now. Yeah. I don't want to play too with soon. Kobe. You know what? I want to play. I don't want to play.
You know,
with Kobe.
While Kobe's passed, technically his story is still being told. Money Mike.
You know what? Look. I have the perfect person.
I agree. Demetrius Prince would be amazing.
I have the perfect person that would love to have a story about, but my problem with this person is I don't want him to do it, and he would definitely do it.
And?
Damon Dash.
Oh.
I would love.
You think he would star in his own movie?
Here's the thing.
Or I'm control it too
so,
much?
So, listen, you have to really, really understand about the dynamic of that Damon Dash, right? Damon Dash, at the time, took one artist, and created a full label off of one artist. He had one person signed. He went in, knocked down the doors, and he created Jay-Z. Like, he had a roster of 25 people.
Yeah.
And they created a whole record label off of one artist.
That's crazy.
Think about what I'm saying.
I know.
And because of the way he did it in his aggressive manner, in his street manner, Jay-Z, he became, when he was in the beginning of it, it was what needed to happen. But then as he grew, his same personality became a detriment to the growth of what hip-hop was going. And that's why Jay-Z left him, because he became... The same thing Damon Dash was doing to get him where he was became a detriment and stopped them for the growth.
Right.
That's why I would love to learn about Damon Dash. But the problem with Damon Dash is he does everything on his own. I want like a historian. I want somebody to probably do it that watched it happen, like a Roy Firestone or something like that.
A third
watched what happened. And do it based off of that, like a third person.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think, you know, Damon Dash, like, I was just watching an interview he did with Up in Smoke, our, you know, the other podcast. And he said, hey, you want to do a movie? You got 6 cameras over here. Start acting. You can make your own movie. And he made it so simple to him. And he didn't. Matt Barnes became the manager. I mean, it literally within the
just like that.
He was like, "You got everything. What are you talking about?" It literally was explained to him how he was just lacking confidence. Like, he already had the ability to create what he wanted to create. Mm-hmm. So I think he's a genius mind, you know. But again, I just don't want him to tell the story because it would. It would be,
and then Jay-Z's around though,
right?
You know, so it's going to be kind of hard for him to predict. I mean, I keep saying that, guys. I'm sorry. Depict. Okay, depict. I know. Depict. I know, man.
Depict. Predict.
Keep saying that.
Predict the depiction.
No, predict the depiction. Okay, so as we predict the depiction. So the fact that Jay-Z is going to be all over that, like he's not going to let him have that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know you're saying Dame, but imagine your depiction of me.
Right.
Me. The one that left you and became like three times worth more than you. Yes, you were the brains behind the operation, but I created what was that?
But Dame created Jay-Z.
But wait a minute, hold on. What's the famous line? What's the famous line that Jay-Z said? Fools talking about that they made hoes. Okay, well, make another hove. And he said that, and literally, he ain't made another hole since. Okay. So it's where it's at that point, right?
It takes talent.
No, I ain't hating on nobody today.
All right. Everybody, this has been a great show, but we never finish a show without finishing a segment that we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds. Money Mike is going to share his thoughts or opinions on a topic, and he just wants to know, are they in bounds or out of bounds? Money Mike, you have the mic.
You know what? This one, I don't think this is a lightweight one. Okay. I happened to have the TV on. It was on the basketball game. And it was New Jersey and the Celtics. And
I like how you said New Jersey, keep it real.
Right. And yeah. Okay, you're right. And it's right around like the third, right around literally I saw the end
Staples,
of the third.
Dog. Staples.
I saw the end of the third, starting of the fourth. Right. And I don't know if you guys saw the game in the fourth quarter, but this dude Kyrie just came out there and just went 8. I mean, they were down by 11. And Kyrie literally within a minute and a half, you know, got him up by two. You know, he was just so amazing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he passed the ball to KD. I said, oh, that's right. KD's on the team too. You know what I mean? You know, and I realized when I got to thinking, I was like, you know what? I really like Kyrie game. I really like KD's game. Am I out of bounds for not really rooting for New Jersey, but rooting for these players because the Lakers aren't in?
Okay, let's start with Stat Pat.
Okay, so I think you're out of bounds. Only because it goes against everything that we talk about when it's the name on the front versus the name on the back. Even though we like the players, but we should be rooting for the team. But if you ain't got no dog in a fight, I mean, you might have a point there. I mean, you had no dog in a fight, then why not root for the guy? But at the same time, you know, it's no skin off your nose if they lose or not. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, so, I mean, they lost by one.
Right, so you're like, you're all good.
And I'm like, but again, I was like, dude, I love what Kyrie was doing, though. I'm literally just watching.
You can love somebody's game without rooting for
him. Kyrie was driving past people like
you like Kyrie because you hate LeBron.
No, exactly.
I am not,
because that's his kryptonite.
No, because we know who he is, and you know, talk about Shaq and Kobe divorce. That was like that's one of the highest. That's one of the worst ones.
Inbounds or out of bounds?
Huh?
Is he inbounds or out of bounds?
Oh, I think he's. You know what? He's out of bounds.
All right, he's out of bounds. I'm going to say you're inbounds.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So I'm going to give you inbounds, although it is Brooklyn and not New Jersey, but that's okay because I still call the San Diego Chargers.
We're Brooklyn now.
So that's not a problem. But I'm going to go and say you're inbounds just to toss you a carrot and make you feel good. Is that all right?
Hey, I appreciate that, man.
You'll take what you can get. You know what? Because I feel bad because one of our viewers has finally figured out.
I got to go find out. You.
This Sean Ward character. First of all, he likes us. So
we're good.
Yeah,
man.
We're good with it.
Big up to Sean.
So man. I'd like to personally thank Sean Ward for watching the show.
Yeah, man. A fourth guest.
Because he seems to be pretty good. Also, I'd like to put out a quick little PSA. You guys don't know we're doing this, but we have a friend that needs a little help. He's selling a car. There's a gentleman by the name of Clipper Daryl. And he is selling his Clipper colored BMW after the Clippers failed to make the playoffs. Yet last week on one of the shows that's produced in this very studio, he proclaimed that LA is now Clipper Town and that the Clippers were going to win the title this year and definitely going. Well, they didn't even make the playoffs. So, he turned it around and now he's selling his car. So if you're interested in the Clipper car for a really good price, please go reach out to your boy, Clipper Daryl, because he's there for you. And he's ready, and he can use a handout. He's pretty sad today. So let's go ahead and hand that out. What do you think about it?
Nice.
You saw that, right?
Well, yeah. And I, you know what? I'm going to tell you, man, I loved how – I mean, listen, one thing I love about Clipper Daryl, he believes in you. You know what I mean? Like, this is – Clipper Daryl is equivalent to that parent that tells their son that they could sing, and then they go on American Idol and then become a meme.
Right? You know what I mean? You're so right.
You know, because somebody told him, yes, you can sing.
So right.
Yes, you can sing.
He's been lied
to. This guy literally saw the team lose. I mean, and Minnesota act like they won the championship, which was
that
another
was a joke.
Funny thing. And then he was like, Mr. Adjustments is about to come in and make all the adjustments and win this game on Friday. Yeah. And they got blown, though.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, they blew another big lead in Clipper style and Clipper fashion, as usual. But we have to go here, guys. Thank you so much. Stat Pat, Money Mike, thank you. A special thank you to Sean Ward. A special thank you to everybody who commented. There's a new comment up there. Let's see that last-minute comment. We got to sneak it in. Who's that from? That is Demetrius. Thank you, Demetrius Harold. Thank you. I will make it a Lakers card. That's it. Well, it's being sold cheap right now, like all Clipper gear. It's always in the clearance section, so you're good. We are the Profanity Nation podcast here every Sunday night, 8:30 p.m. live on Facebook and Instagram. We want to thank our videographer Theo. We want to thank our producer Dwan, our guest tonight Roy Firestone, and Infinity Studios for making this possible.
Thank you
guys so much. Thank you Pure Life Alternative Wellness Center in Chatsworth, California, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.